Well, good afternoon to you, and I was inspired to share a few things with you. And I was thinking about, you know, the fundamental things that we as believers do, and the fundamental things that we need to understand. And, you know, God is really working in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And God can really go to work when our hearts are humble and when we're ready to receive from Him. And we're ready to do the things that He encourages, not because of works that we have to do or we feel we have to do, but because from a pure heart, we really want to live unto God. We really desire to see the things of God happen in our life. We really want to walk in the blessings that God has blessed us with, those wonderful words that God has spoken into our life. And what God has decreed and what He's declared, that's what we need to say about ourselves. That's how we need to see ourselves. We've really got to come out of the traditions of men so that we can walk in the power of God. You know, Paul says in Romans 1:9, I believe, that he said he served God with his spirit. He didn't serve Him with anything else other than the Spirit of God working in him. He was led by the Spirit of God. He lived in the Spirit of God. He walked in the Spirit of God. And he spoke by the Spirit of God. He spoke those heavenly words that brought life, direction, healing, and he spoke that gospel, the good news. That word gospel is good news. People associate that word gospel to traditional Christianity, but the gospel is really good news, and we have really good news. It's not like sinner repent, you're going to hell. That's not good news. No one's going to buy that, right? Are you going to frighten them into heaven? I don't think so. You know, because it's the word of faith. We receive this word gladly because they're the words of life. They're the words of encouragement. And they're the words from God. And if you're a person like me, you really want to know and do the will of God from a pure heart. We don't want to do it from any other heart than a pure heart, because we desire to really, you know, honor our Father and to walk in that fellowship with Him. Just like we see Jesus, you know, He walked in perfect alignment with the Father. He always done the will of the Father. He always spoke those words from God. His desire, and my desire also, is to know God's ways and to see others come from darkness to light. You know, if you really want to move, you will really be desiring to see the power of God at work in your life and then impart that to others. And you really desire to fellowship with hungry-hearted people for the things of God and to see God's truth go throughout the whole earth. You really desire that men and women will come unto a knowledge of the truth and that many millions of people will confess Jesus as their Lord and that they believe in their heart that God's raised them from the dead so that they can receive the Spirit of God. You really desire that God works in your heart mightily and opens many doors for you so you can preach and teach the gospel concerning Jesus Christ, and that you can manifest the power of God bringing healing and deliverance to others. You really desire greatly to give God the glory for all that He is doing in you and through you and by you, because you understand that in and of yourself you can do nothing except God does the work. And because you are lovingly obedient to do the will of God from the heart. And that's what God wants. He wants us to do His things from our heart, with a willing heart. And you really desire God's desire to be your desire. And God is the one that puts those desires in your heart and many more desires that I haven't mentioned. And a question comes to my mind: what is the fundamental things that I need to do and understand? How do I position myself before God to see these wonderful things take place in my life? Yes, I know God has seated us at His right hand. So that is where we are spiritually positioned. I'm talking about, where do I position myself before God in my heart and my thoughts? God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, that we're to set our affections on things above, not on things of this earth. And so we're to guard that heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So we are, you know, seated at the right hand side of God. That's our seated position. That's what God through Christ has made available to us, that when God raised Jesus from the dead, He raised us up from the dead, and He's seated at His own right hand side, where there's that pleasures forevermore, where there's that authority, where there's that sonship, that relationship, just like Jesus Christ had. I know one thing, that we must be humble and meek and of a willing heart to gladly receive the encouragement and instruction given to us. And this takes a real committed decision, a mind made up to do and follow what God would have us do, and to receive the sound words that are being spoken. The sound doctrine is what God gives through a person's mouth that is speaking for God, that is energized by God, that is turned to God. And they're allowing God to work in them. They're not trying to make anything happen in and of themselves. They're living by that Spirit. And they have a living relationship with the living God. It's through that sound doctrine that we're receiving that we see these great things happen. It was not like until I made up my mind to do what God was showing me and to connect where God wanted me to connect that things started to very quickly take off. When I look at the time now, over a year since I've come back from India, my life has changed. The contrast is evident. God has just really added to me in every area. And he wants to do that for everyone. But we have to learn to cease from our own works. We have to learn to not do things from our own ability. It's not through my knowledge and my understanding that anything happens. It's as we're led by God, is as God opens the doors. And it's his wisdom and the way he works in us both to want to do of his good pleasure that the work gets done. So God starts with you personally, and you're highly important to God, and your heart and your mind and your well-being and every area of your life is important to God. And he wants you to prosper and be in health, like it says in 3 John 1:2. God wants us to have a great journey through life. He wants us to be successful in every endeavor, and he wants us to trust him and the direction he is showing us. He wants us to rest in him. It says in Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not unto your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledging him, and he shall direct thy path. In Hebrews chapter 4 verse 9 it says, there remaineth therefore a rest to God's people, or to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he has also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labour therefore to enter into the rest, lest any man fall after the example of unbelief. So to enter into God's rest is to stop doing the things how we think it should be done, and to allow God to inspire our hearts and minds, to allow God to open up the doors, to allow God to give us the words to speak and the actions that we're to take. And it's a relationship with the living God. It's not a manufactured thing that we're trying to earn salvation, that we're going to get brownie points. Jesus Christ has paid the whole price for everything. That's the true gospel. You know, grace and the gospel of Christ are two words that are interchangeable, and they go together. So, like, God has done the work in Christ, and grace is that God does the work. But God works with your faith, and he's working in you to get you into a position of strength in your heart and mind. And once you decide that you really want to do what God wants you to do, then change can begin. And then God's direction for you comes. So once I decided to do what God was putting in my heart to do, and to live unto him, and to boldly speak forth his words, then God put it into my heart, an unwavering focus and determination to continue to follow his direction, no matter what anyone says or what is happening in or around me. Our strength comes from Jehovah God, and through our commitment we make unto him. He's already committed to us, and now we just respond with a committed heart and a heart of devotion to him, to really do what he puts in our hearts to do, not to worry about what anyone says, but to be more concerned about what God is showing me to do than what a man or a woman is trying to tell me to do. I should study this, I should research that. So it's as we're led by the Spirit of God, and we see this in the life of Jesus Christ, we see this in the life of the apostles, we see this all the way through the book of Acts. It was by the power of God that God's work really began to move very swiftly. So God helps us to keep the things simple through focusing on him. And that's all God wants you to do. And encouragement and instruction is very important. And the encouragement we want needs to come from God. The instruction we want needs to come from God. And I see many people like the encouragement, but I also see many people don't like the instruction. You know, like, okay, if you do this, you'll be successful. If you do this, God will bless you. But the ones that do it, you know, they see the benefits and they see the growth, they see the provision, they see the open doors. But of course, people are free to choose what they want to do. And God puts no burdens on anyone. God wants you to decide from your own free will heart to follow what he puts in your heart and what is being encouraged through whoever you're connecting to. That is walking by the Spirit. He wants you to walk with him. And he wants you to be great encouragers to other people, to give them that good news, that good message. And he wants you to speak forth the things that he's working in you in those life situations. And he wants you to encourage and minister to those, so that the people that are receiving your words are encouraged to go to God. They're encouraged to go directly to God, not to us. So our job is to connect people to God. Every individual's job is that, as a believer, as a fellow worker together with God, those that really desire to move. And if we want to be successful, we want to be fruitful, we want to see the power of God evident in our life, and the true love of God is doing the will of God from the heart and encouraging people with those heavenly words that God is putting in our mouth and directing them to God. You know, declaring what Jesus Christ accomplished for them, and that God raised him from the dead, and now it's Christ in them. They got the Holy Spirit of God in them, and that they got a direct connection, direct access to the Heavenly Father. So God really wants you knowing what you're doing, and he gives you the wisdom. He gives you that spiritual revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ as you devote your heart and your life to him. So the instruction, it's within the encouragement. And God helped me to see that instruction is very simple. So the steps, the direction God gives us to take comes through that encouragement. And we just decide to do it. And as we follow that encouragement, more steps from God come for us to take. The understanding will come. And as we simply follow what God is showing and move in that direction, he is leading us. So our part is to decide to receive those words with a ready mind, that we receive them gladly and do them, and prove the words that we're receiving by the doing of the things which are being encouraged. Many people just listen, and God doesn't just want us to listen, he wants us to listen and then do. That's where we get the fruit. That's where we see the power of God start to manifest from the spiritual to the physical. So if we receive the word and words from God with meekness, with a humble heart, we will do it. So someone that's received those words gladly will do it. They will practice the things that are being encouraged. And I'm personally seeing the benefits. You know, and like I said, since I've recently paid close attention to the words of God being spoken and what God is saying in the scriptures addressed to me, both are very important. The personal results I'm getting are wonderful, and others that listen to us. So they get greatly benefited as they practice and do. So it's through the practice, it's through putting those words to work. You know, you'll see the fruit. And the fruit is the deciding factor of whether those words were from God or not. You know, we, as we do with a pure heart, God will just take us step by step. So Sandgate was sharing about stepping forward with God. And we can also step back to allow God to work and then step forward as God is leading us. So as we follow the encouragement that is given to us, then we'll be able to lead others. And we'll be able to do it really great because we're doing it with God and we're not doing it from our own strength. I see this as I was taking a look at the lives of the disciples in the Gospel and the Book of Acts. You know, Jesus had 12 disciples that were close to him, and we know one of them betrayed Jesus, but 11 of Jesus' close disciples were the dominant leaders in the early church. And we see in the Book of Acts, others were added, like Timothy, Titus. These guys were faithful to do, and they followed Paul's encouragement and instruction. Paul also exhorted the believers. He warned the believers at times, along with reproof and correction, which was always edifying, always encouraging, which were all instructions in righteousness. So you'll see this throughout the church epistles. Okay, you'll see this through the Book of Acts. You'll see certain things that played out and how God worked in the people and how God directed the things. So Jesus' disciples followed the example of their teacher. They were committed. And Jesus said unto them, you know, you're my friends if you do whatever I command you. So Jesus was pretty straightforward with the things that he spoke. He didn't beat about the bush, but he spoke to the trees. He was really bold to declare what God put in his heart to speak. You know, obedience is better than sacrifice. You know, a living sacrifice is someone who's not being conformed to this world ways or to tradition. Okay, but someone being transformed by the power of God, that are receiving those words, they're walking by the Spirit, they're focused with God, and as they do that, their minds are being renewed, they're seeing God's ways, like God made known his ways unto Moses and his acts unto the children of Israel. Moses knew the ways of God, and that's what we want to do. So to do that, you have to be obedient from the heart to follow and do what God wants you to do. A living sacrifice is a doer of the word. They're not just a hearer. So there is instruction, great instruction in the church epistles that we see that were given to the churches and obviously to us today also. And as we just do what God is showing and we follow this simple way, being led by the Spirit of God and doing what God is showing us through the ministers that encourage us and through what he's working in our hearts day by day, then we start to see great growth. And because we can do nothing of ourselves. Jesus said, I can't do nothing. I only do what I hear and see the Father do. He couldn't do nothing in and of himself, nor can we. So it's not all our study and research. Now, God will lead you to do certain reading for your understanding. But it's as we're moved by God, as we're led by God. We've only seen one record where Jesus opened the scriptures. God had it recorded once in Luke chapter 4, where the scrolls were given to him and he opened them up. That was only one recorded. He might have done it in other places, but God didn't put great emphasis on Jesus going to the scripture, but he put great emphasis on Jesus speaking by God, speaking those heavenly words, speaking those words that were proceeding from the mouth of God. So it's just really wonderful to see these things. We can see from the example of the scripture, like the Apostle Paul's exhortation and instruction to Timothy was that the things that Timothy was learning, he was to commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So in 2 Timothy 2:2, and it says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So we give these to the ones that are faithful, humble, gladly receiving the words. And there might be many people, but we give this sound doctrine, this sound way, to the humble ones, the ones that are going to carry out. We're not to cast our pearls before swine, Jesus said. Don't waste your words. But if we're walking by the Spirit, then we know when to open our mouth. We know who to encourage. And the ones that really want to know are the ones that draw close, the ones that come close, the ones that connect to you. And so the ones that are coming to you are the ones we encourage. And we're to speak boldly. That doesn't mean shouting. It means to clearly communicate what God is putting in our hearts to those people. They can move and they can be fruitful and they can walk in the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. They can walk with the living God. So we're to commit what we're learning to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Faithful men were not those that merely attended the fellowship, but attended to the words spoken by doing them. But, you know, as I've seen through the years, many people who come to fellowship on a regular basis are recognized as faithful. But faithful to what? Faithful to come to fellowship? Or are they faithful to come to fellowship and, more importantly, faithful to put into practice what they're being encouraged and exhorted to do? And you will know the committed ones by their fruit. The fruit speaks loudly. You know, someone that really receives the word gladly, they're not always in a down position, always struggling, and, you know, always fighting problem after problem. But they may have those things happen and come in their life, but they overcome them. They grow in strength. They realize that God is the source of all their supply. And so you can tell who really wants to move this, or who really just wants to stay in traditions of men and get the same results they get year after year after year, which is not much fruit. God wants us to be fruitful. God wants us to be blessed. God wants you so happy and successful in your walk with him, in your ministering for him. He doesn't want you just being tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, but he wants you to receive the sound doctrine, which is able to save you and those that hear you, which is able to give you a great journey through life, and those that hear you, they can also have a great journey through life. We can tell that we're speaking those words from God when someone receives those words and they start to do them. They start to see a change in their life. They start to see the benefits and the fruit appearing in their life. They start to have that joy and peace and believe, and they start to really rely on God like we are really relying on God. God is just so wonderful. And we know not everyone will follow the encouragement that we give and that we commit. So we're to commit to the ready people that are drawing close and staying connected to God, and the ones encouraging. We give to the ready people that they really want to move, and they are receiving our words gladly, the encouragement God is directing in that moment in time to impart to them. That's who we encourage. And we encourage them to pray for the laborers, you know, to desire their own fellowships, to desire their own field, and to encourage them to practice the things that, you know, that we're instructing, like, you know, speaking in tongues, honoring God, praying for the laborers, staying connected, because it's beneficial. And it's for the encouragement. I stay connected where I'm being fed. You know, the teacher that's teaching me is proven. You know, they got fruit, they're walking with God, they're showing forth that fruits of the Spirit in their life, they're speaking heavenly words that really encourage me. And so I'm doing the same. I'm following. I'm becoming an imitator, a tupos, an exact type. Because we can, because we got the Spirit of God to be that exact type. We've all got the same Spirit of God. And so you guys are just wonderful. And I'm just sharing this for encouragement. And it helps us to, you know, just to help you keep your mind in the right place. The sound words help us keep our mind in the right place, so that we're lined up, so that we can receive the things that God is communicating to our spirit, and our spirit is communicating to our minds. So sound doctrine, those heavenly words, is very important. But after that, reading that record in Hebrews about entering to God's rest, the next verse, after, let us therefore enter into the rest, lest any man fall of the same example of unbelief. For the word of God, or the words from God, is quick, living, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the divide and asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the hearts, or the intent of the heart. This is who we commit the words to. So sound doctrine is very important, and the sound doctrine is what God gives you and me to speak forth. Jesus spoke sound doctrine. The Apostle Paul spoke sound doctrine. Timothy, Titus spoke sound doctrine. Words that were inspired from the Spirit of God. And you too can speak forth sound doctrine. Those words that impart faith and give encouragement. It builds desire. It builds vision. It provides direction. There is a certain humbleness we need to see in those that want to move. They may not see the things right away, but as God is working in us, we hold fast to sound doctrine and continue to encourage those certain ones that are humble. They begin to see and do. These believers are ready to go believers. And they're not always arguing and fighting with you. Those that really want to focus also do not go from teacher to teacher, from doctrine to doctrine. They're not being tossed around by every wind of doctrine. And, you know, I believe what we see today, so many people going to this fellowship, that fellowship, and this teacher, that teacher, is every wind of doctrine. You know, they're having their ears tickled. You know, but we want to be focused, we want to be steadfast, we want to be unmovable. And God doesn't change. God's not a schizophrenic. He's not going to say one thing one day and the opposite thing the next. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I'm going to read this because it's excellent. Verses 1 to 5, it says, this is Paul to Timothy, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn their ears away from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But thou, Timothy, watch thou in all things, during afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. You know, make full proof of your ministry. So I understand now more when Jesus said, many are called and few are chosen. So that's what Jesus said. No, many are called, but few are chosen for the work. Remember, Jesus had other disciples, but God showed him the 12 to pick for his close disciples, for his close-knit people, who he shared the Father's heart and his own heart and his life. And he gave to them the keys of the kingdom. So the 12 were not high-minded. They had many flaws. But they were humble, they were teachable, they were ones that received Jesus' words gladly, they received Jesus' words with encouragement and instructions, they received it as the words from God, or as the words of God, just like in Thessalonica. Jesus spoke forth the words from the Father, what God gave for him to speak. John 12:49 says, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. John 14:10 says, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. They didn't come from himself. But the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the work. John 17:8, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I am come out from thee. And they believe that thou didst send me. John 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit, and they are life. The disciples received the words from Jesus and stayed close to Jesus, and done the things Jesus instructed them to do. He encouraged them. You know, he was always encouraging them to do things, like with the feeding of the 5,000. You know, he said to them, you go and feed them. He was giving them an opportunity to believe God and move. And this is what we need to do to people. Get people to go to God. Get people to look to God. Get people to believe God. Or stay in traditions of men, where you're not so fruitful. You'll get blessed for a time, but you won't see great things happen that God wants you to have. And what God wants to do for you. God's got great works before ordained works. So we stay with God. And we do those things that he is leading us to do. And we stay connected to sound doctrine. And, you know, we stay faithful and consistent. So many people that I've, you know, worked with through the years, they come and they go. They don't stay. You know, one little thing offends them, or they get a little tribulation come up in their life, a little challenge, and you don't see them again. So we want to get people established. And you get established by doing, walking with God. By receiving the words and doing them. That's how you get established, by practicing the things. Like Timothy must have practiced the things that Paul was encouraging him. Paul encouraged the things that God was encouraging him to do. And he was getting the fruit from it. And he had problems come up as well, but he stayed with God. He moved with God. In 1 Thessalonians 2:13 it says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the words of man. These were words that they were speaking as God was energizing. But as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Romans 1:9. I mentioned this earlier on. For God is my witness, Paul said, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel, the good news of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayer. Now, Paul served God with his spirit, not his sense knowledge or his wisdom. Paul was led by the Spirit of God and spoke forth boldly those things God was inspiring to do. He was bold. He didn't worry about what other people said. You know, if you know to do something, if you know to connect, and you're not doing it because of what other people are telling you, then you're in a sad place, and you need to get some strength from God and make a decision to follow the right way. And God will honor you, and God will bless you. When you follow those sound words, He will really bless you. You know, people have said that the growth in India is because of the culture difference. And I used to believe that, but I now boldly say different. It is not the culture, but the doctrine. Right words, sound doctrine, when spoken forth and the people or the person present receive those words with a humble and meek heart, it will cause great faith in the hearts. If the word spoke is received as the word of God and not as the words of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which is effective in those that believe, those words coming directly from God through the one speaking in that time and moment to minister to the hearts of the people present. So basically in India, many don't have Bibles. Many haven't even heard of a Bible, but they can hear the words being spoken, these words coming from God through the person speaking, and they receive it into their hearts and they go and do it. And they're seeing signs, miracles and wonders like we read in the book of Acts. And many great signs and wonders have happened in India. And also in the other parts of the world, but I'm specifically focusing there. It isn't the culture, it's the doctrine. So what doctrine are you receiving? Have you been getting the same results year in, year out? Have you seen a little bit of growth? Or do you want to see much growth? Where there's momentum going, a continuous growth and outreach, a continuing moving forward, despite challenges, despite lockdowns, despite all these things, even in lockdown. You know, in India and in Nepal, they were building their houses, they were building God's church, they were prospering, and they increase even more. So when we just rest with God, and we follow His leading, His prompting, His inspiring, and we speak forth boldly what He puts in our heart, then we see great things. Nothing will stop us. Nothing. And this is how we live, and you know, we should be living and reigning this life by one Jesus Christ. We do that by doing what God is showing us. Just like God directly moved Moses in that difficult situation when he had to get the children of Israel out of Egypt. All he had to do was speak forth what God told him to speak forth and do what God showed him to do. And when he'd done that, he let them out. And that's all we do. And no, Pharaoh was mean. You know, he was mean. And these guys today, they move, you know, very indirectly behind the scenes, not showing a strength of force like in the days of Moses. You know, when these armies would come, they'd chop and kill the people. They didn't care. Today they have to do it behind the scenes. You know, that's, they move secretly and then openly. So, you know, we are sons of God with power. And it's through those sound words that we receive from God. It's through being led by the Spirit of God, walking by the Spirit of God, that we change our whole culture. And we back off the enemy as we continue to advance. You know, we're on the offense, not defense all the time. Not worrying about how we're going to live, how we're going to be clothed. But we're seeking first the kingdom of God. We got hearts of lions. We got the heart of God. And we're not afraid of the force of this world because we know where it comes from. It comes from the God of this world who is actually defeated. And he knows his time's short. So we're strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We know it's a spiritual competition or battle, whatever you want to call it. But we've already won. We're not on the defensive. We're on the offense. God wants you to do what he's putting in your heart. If God directs you to open the scriptures, teach for them, that's what you do. If God inspires you to speak forth as he inspires your heart, then that's what you should do. There is no law. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we can see by the example of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the apostles, they spoke forth boldly by the Spirit of God, as God inspired them, as they opened their mouth. So we just got to remember, when Jesus spoke forth, he spoke forth what God inspired him to speak. And it's also important that we pray for laborers, like Jesus encouraged the disciples in Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. You read it there, you go and read it yourself. The laborers are the ready ones. There were many people that were lost. They had no leader. So Jesus encouraged Christ, like, you pray. And this word pray is diamai. It's like a need. It's a longing. You know, that you really need it. Just like if you need food to eat or money to pay your bills, a big need. That's how we should pray for the laborers. So we pray for the laborers, the ready ones. The ready ones will do the work of God. They will receive your words gladly. They will receive the encouragement and sound doctrine, what you're speaking to them. And they will do it unto God with all their hearts, and as God leads them and opens the door. So we encourage people to go to God. We encourage people to do what God is working in their hearts, to follow the encouragement that God's working in us to give them. And so these guys, these laborers, these ready ones, they will do and say what God puts in their hearts to do boldly. And laborers will walk with God and be led by the Spirit of God, and will also show great respect for the ones encouraging, not because the ones encouraging them is anything in and of themselves, but because the ones that encourage them is giving them the words of life and helping them and directing them to go to God and to move in the right way, so that they feed God's people and they are encouraging and instructing, which will cause them to become very fruitful. At times, disciples were challenged with the words Jesus spoke, but they stayed the course, and so much fruit came to them. And especially we see this on the day of Pentecost, and after the day of Pentecost, they continued. One of the main reasons the early church faded out was because people stopped believing the words that were spoken to them, and other things like false brethren coming in unawares to sow discord and promoting fear. You know, the religious type Pharisees that imparted fear and confusion to bring people into bondage of the law and to control God's people, rather than give them words that built their faith and godly edification. So these things have become more and more clearer to me since God showed me where I should connect and to follow that encouragement that was being spoken, which I am. And I encourage others to do the same. I allow God to work in me. I encourage you, allow God to work in you. Speak forth boldly what God's put in your heart. So I'm proving to myself the things that I'm learning. So I have great conviction in my heart to share what I'm sharing with others as God works in me, as God inspires me, like God's inspired me to do this morning. So if we're from a pure heart, you know, connect where God shows us and do what God is showing us through encouragement, we are receiving what God is showing us. We will start to see things happen. We will start to see fruit. And, you know, your perspective will change. You will see the glory of God. You'll behold the heavens and see the stars. You know, so this is what we want to do. We want to see the power of God. We want to have that relationship with God and to manifest his love and his power and his faith and give those sound words which change people, which connects people to God. So you can pray to God to change things for you, but God will go to work to change you. That's what God wants to do. He wants your hearts to be with him. He wants you to respond to his leading than anything else. And he wants you to become fruitful and blooming and blossoming. And when you do that, you'll have peace in this world that has no peace. You'll have that direction in this world where it's a wilderness. And the answer will be flowing to you. And you will have the provisions you greatly desire in every area. You'll have overflown fellowships that start in their fellowships. You'll have the leader type believers around you. You know, people that are like-minded, people that are hungry and humble. And this is what we want, you know, not arguing over doctrine and traditions of men, but we speak sound words from God, which actually the scriptures verify, you know, what we're doing and what we're saying. So the pattern and heart I see in the book of Acts is the same pattern of good works I've seen in the Indian believers. So this godly structure is a godly structure. It's not a man-made structure. There is a great example to follow. I mean, they continue to grow and increase on a consistent, faithful basis. And I see the faithfulness of certain leaders I have met and known. And they're following the things they're being encouraged by their leader. But they do it with all their hearts unto God. They walk by the Spirit of God. They're led by the Spirit of God. They go to God for their answers and direction. And they continue to grow and multiply. They're humble and meek. And they walk with God. They're showing the patterns of good works and they're humble because they're led by the Spirit of God, and they go to connect to their leader as God shows them. They're led by God. And this is what we want to do, encourage people to be led by God, to follow the sound encouragement that God has given us to give to them. So I'm praying and desiring for this godly structure here in the United Kingdom, within Europe and other places, and anywhere God opens the doors for me to preach his word and to speak his words. You know, I'm praying for others and to minister and to encourage. When I say godly structure, I do not mean, you know, religious structure. The people that receive the words that we speak will do it from their hearts, that they're led by the Spirit of God to follow the encouragement given and to encourage other people to walk by the same rule, to walk by the Spirit. The Apostle Paul mentions and encourages and instructs to walk by the same rule and to be of the same mind. Philippians chapter 3, verse 15 to 21, it says, "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Be followers together of me." Like Paul saying, look, follow me, because, you know, I'm a follower of Christ. "And mark them which walk, so you have an example. So you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation, or our behaviour, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our foul body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is even able to subdue all things unto himself." Romans 15, verses 5 and 6 says, "Now the God of patience and comfort," or consolation it says, it was comfort, "grant you to be like-minded one towards another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may be of one mind and one mouth, glorifying God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." When we speak forth those heavenly words from God, when we're doing things from a pure heart, you know, we're glorifying God. And Philippians 1:27 says, "Only let your conversation, or your manner, or your behavior, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel," the good news. Philippians 2:2 says, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." So people have their own free will choice to decide to follow and practice sound doctrine and go directly to God and connect where God is directing them. Then they will see great things happen when they do this from their heart. The first thing is to break through all the tradition and doctrines of man's ideas. And to do this, we must simply start practicing to be led by the Spirit of God, to speak forth boldly what God gives you to speak. The scriptures themselves show us this way, and how to move, and how to speak, and the fruit will tell the story. So these things were what come to my heart to share and encourage, and it's a little bit longer, but there was lots to say. And I love you, have a great day, and consider what I say. God bless you.